Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious, essential knowledge simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive.
Today we're looking at something, well, something foundational. We're sort of re-examining the very basis of life as we know it.
Right, because that picture we all learned in school, you know, the two big kingdoms, plants and animals, it's missing a huge piece of the puzzle.
A third player. And that player is the fungal kingdom. We're going to dive into this hidden world guided by the work of the fantastic mycologist Nicholas P. Money. And our mission today is really to change how you see fungi forever. They aren't just mushrooms or mold. They are, as Money calls them, the forgotten architects of life on land.
And it's not just an interesting fact. Most of us, you know, we think of a pizza topping or maybe some mold in the corner of the bathroom.
Exactly. Not a life force on par with a giant redwood or a blue whale. But Money's whole argument is that fungi are one of the three major kingdoms of complex life. If you ignore them, you're missing half the story.
And that story is critical right now. Understanding that fungi are the planet's master chemists is, it's key to solving some of our biggest problems.
Absolutely. Sustainability, new medicines, climate adaptation, it all comes back to completing our biological worldview. We need the full picture to move forward.
So to get that picture, we're turning to Nicholas P. Money. What makes him the perfect guide for this?
Well, he's a distinguished professor and mycologist, but what I love is how deep he goes into the details. His work is all about fungal physiology, the actual mechanics of how they work.
So not just classifying them, but understanding the engineering behind them.
Yes. He's the guy who figured out the literal physics of how a tiny spore launches itself into the air. It's that level of detail.
Wow. And he connects that microscopic stuff to, what, global functions?
That's his genius. He can take you from the molecular level all the way up to the planetary scale seamlessly. He sees fungi not as these isolated things, but as the central nodes in these vast, complex networks.
So when he writes about a fungus, he's really describing a relationship.
Exactly, an ecological system.
Okay, so let's get into the central idea of his work. It sounds like he's trying to issue a major correction to biology.
That's a great way to put it. A biological corrective. For centuries, fungi were just sort of lumped in with plants, botanical afterthoughts. He argues, no, they deserve their own powerful kingdom.
And the work itself is a journey, right? It's not just biology.
Oh, not at all. It's an interdisciplinary roadmap. He weaves in evolution, biochemistry, medicine, environmental science. It's all connected.
And the core idea is that fungi are active architects, not just passive decomposers sitting in the background.
Right. They're actively responsible for decomposition, for nutrient cycling, and for these ancient, profound partnerships that literally allowed plants to move out of the water and colonize land millions of years ago.
That just turns everything on its head. The idea that a forest isn't just a bunch of competing trees.
It's a collaborative entity, held together and basically governed by this invisible underground network. It's a total systems thinking approach.
Okay, let's get into that hidden world. If fungi aren't plants and they aren't animals, what actually defines them?
Well, first, molecular data shows they're actually closer relatives to animals than they are to plants.
That's still a mind-bending thought for me.
It is for most people.
Yeah.
And you can see it in their structure. Their cell walls are made of a substance called chitin.
Chitin. That's the same stuff in insect exoskeletons, right?
Exactly. That same tough, fibrous material. But their feeding strategy is what's really unique. It's called extracellular digestion.
Extracellular.
Yeah.
So outside the cell, they don't have mouths or stomachs. So how does that work?
They are, and I'm not exaggerating, chemical geniuses. They secrete these powerful enzyme cocktails outside their bodies onto whatever they're eating.
So onto a log or into the soil.
Right. The enzymes break down all the complex stuff out there, and then the fungus just absorbs the simple nutrients. They essentially digest their food before they eat it.
Which brings us to the true body of the fungus. Because the mushroom we see isn't... Right. You called it the apple on the tree.
That's Money's analogy. And it's perfect. The real organism is the mycelium, this huge hidden network of microscopic threads called hyphae.
And that's the part that's exploring, growing, searching.
Yes. That's the engine. A single handful of healthy soil can have miles of these threads woven through it.
Miles. Wow. Okay, so that's the silent infrastructure. How does it operate? I know there are a few main strategies.
There are three main lifestyles. First, you've got the saprotrophs, the decomposers. These are nature's master recyclers.
And they can break down really tough stuff.
The toughest. They have the unique enzymes to digest lignin, That's the polymer that makes wood so strong in cellulose. Without them, the world would just be buried in dead trees.
A planet of logs. Okay, what's next?
Then you have the parasites and pathogens. They get a bad rap, but they're part of the ecosystem. Things like Dutch elm disease or human infections like candida.
Right, but the really constructive one is the third strategy, the mutualists.
The mutualists, or symbionts. And the star here is mycorrhizae. It literally means fungus root.
And this isn't some rare thing. It's everywhere.
It's in over 90% of all plant species. It's nature's perfect trade deal. The fungus extends its massive network way beyond the plant's roots and brings back hard-to-get minerals, especially phosphorus.
And in return,
the plant gives it sugars, carbohydrates from photosynthesis. It's this ancient alliance that let plants conquer the land.
And that alliance is what we call the Wood Wide Web.
Yes. Because these networks don't just connect one fungus to one tree, they weave together the entire forest, allowing trees to share resources and even send chemical warning signals.
It's a biological internet. That's amazing. Okay, let's talk about reproduction. The mushroom's only job is to spread spores. How does it do that?
It's this incredible piece of microphysics. It's called ballistospore discharge.
A ballistospore, like a ballistic missile.
Pretty much. The fungus creates a tiny water droplet on the spore called Buller's drop. Then a second drop forms. And when they merge, the shift in the center of mass is so rapid, it catapults the spore away from the gill and into the wind.
It's an explosion powered by surface tension.
A tiny, perfect, natural engine.
That's just astonishing. And while that mechanism is microscopic, the scale of the organism itself can be, well, enormous.
Oh, absolutely. The best example is the honey mushroom in Oregon, Armillaria ostoiae. It's a single clone, one interconnected mycelial network.
Like, how big is it?
It covers nearly 4 square miles. It's one of the largest living organisms on Earth. A giant hidden right underfoot.
So with that biology and that scale, it's no surprise they've had a huge impact on human history, both as friends and foes.
Definitely. On the friends side, you have the obvious ones. Food and drink. Bread, beer, wine. That's all thanks to yeast, Saccharomyces cerevisiae.
But their greatest contribution has to be medicine. We all know the story of penicillin.
Fleming's discovery, yes. From penicillium mold, it changed everything. But Money points out, that was just the start.
What else came from them?
So many critical drugs. The cholesterol-lowering drugs, statins, came from fungi. Mm. And crucially, the immunosuppressant cyclosporine, which made organ transplants possible.
They really are a chemical factory. But they've also been devastating foes.
Absolutely. The Irish potato famine. That was caused by a fungus-like organism, Phytophthora infestans. It shows how a microscopic pathogen can completely reshape human history.
And fungal infections are still a big challenge for us today, right?
A huge challenge, especially for immunocompromised people. Because they're eukaryotes, just like us, it's hard to develop drugs that kill them without also harming our own cells.
So as we pull all this together, what are the core lessons from Money's work, the big themes?
I think the first one is simply the forgotten kingdom and invisibility. Fungi have been ignored because the most important part of them, the mycelium, is hidden.
And that makes you wonder, what other critical systems are we ignoring just because they aren't obvious or dramatic?
Exactly. Which leads right into the second theme, network nature and interconnectedness. Fungi prove that life is a web. The Wood Wide Web challenges that whole idea of the lone, competitive individual.
It's a call for systems thinking.
It is. Then theme three, biochemical geniuses. Because they have to digest the world chemically, they've evolved this insane diversity of compounds. They're a massive, untapped library for new medicines and materials.
Far beyond penicillin.
So far beyond. And finally, theme four is environmental problem solvers. Fungi offer these ancient, elegant solutions to our very modern problems.
That's the hopeful part. The idea that the tools for sustainability, for cleaning up oil spills or breaking down plastic, might already be here, perfected over millions of years.
You just have to know where to look.
Money has some fantastic lines that really capture these ideas. There's one about them being master chemists.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. The idea that they are capable of breaking down virtually any organic compound that life has ever produced.
It just perfectly sums up their role as recyclers. They have the chemical key for every organic lock.
Then there's the one that challenges our whole worldview.
The one about the division of life. The traditional division of life into plants and animals is not just incomplete, it's actively misleading.
About how ecosystems actually function. I mean, that's the whole mission statement right there. You can't understand the forest if you ignore the network that runs it.
and my favorite is the image he creates. Every footstep in a forest falls on a network of fungal threads that may connect trees hundreds of meters apart.
It just visualizes the invisible, doesn't it? You're not walking on dirt, you're walking on top of a single living communicating organism.
And this isn't just theory anymore. People are using this knowledge in very real ways.
Oh, for sure. Take sustainable agriculture. Farmers are learning to work with these mycorrhizal networks, which means they can use far less synthetic fertilizer. The fungi do the work.
Better nutrient uptake, more resilient crops.
More drought tolerance, all by partnering with biology instead of fighting it.
And then there's the futuristic stuff, the mycomaterials.
Right. Using the mycelium itself to grow things, we're seeing biodegradable alternatives to plastic, to leather, even construction insulation, all grown from fungi.
That's amazing. And what about cleanup, mycoremediation?
It's a huge field.
Mm-hmm.
Because of those powerful enzymes we talked about, we can use fungi to break down incredibly complex pollutants.
Like what?
Hydrocarbons from oil spills, pesticides, industrial waste. They essentially eat the pollution and turn it into harmless components.
You know, what surprised me most in all this was just the paradigm shift. Realizing the most powerful forces shaping our world are hidden. They're networked.
It's not the big obvious things.
No. The idea that a single living thing can be 4 square miles and we can't even see it. That just completely changes your definition of what life is.
Hmm. For me, what I loved most was the sense of utility and hope. Fungi offer these time-tested evolutionary solutions for building a more sustainable future.
We don't have to invent everything from scratch.
No. Money's work just challenges us to look beneath the surface. The knowledge is already there, refined over millions of years. We just need to learn how to partner with it.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.